Welcome to Agape Ministries Podcasts, a whole new way of thinking. Episode 195, part one of the talk given by John Shea. The talk is entitled Putting on the Mind of Christ.
I want to take a little passage that was right next to the one that we had for our prayer. It reads this way. The 72 came back rejoicing, saying, "Even the demons are subject to us in your name." Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. See what I've done for you? I have given you the power to tread on the snake and the scorpion and all the forces of the enemy, and nothing will ever injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because demons are subject to you, but because your names are written in the sky." That's a nice one to begin with because it's only one exchange. It isn't a full-blown story. Okay, so from a literary point of view, they come back and Jesus says something to them. But let's see if we can understand the higher consciousness involved here, the spiritual wisdom. And then let's see, having taken the spiritual wisdom, if we can find sort of in the middle category some language around it. And then if we can see how it might be integrated a little more in our life. This next step is inevitably where we become a complete team here, working together. A complete group where there isn't presentation or response, there's just ongoing exploration through the lens that the spiritual wisdom has given us. The 72 come back rejoicing. So they've been sent out. They come back and they're very happy about it. Something has obviously gone well. They come back rejoicing, and here's why they're rejoicing. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. It seems that they're rejoicing. Maybe it's all in the adverbs, even. It seems that they're rejoicing is that they knew they had some power, but they didn't have power over demons. And let's just take demons for the time being as those forces that always appear to us larger than ourselves and which debase and tear down human life. They always seem to be stronger and more powerful than we are. And we do not have power over them. We try to avoid them. We try to submit to them. Well, what they found that even those powers that they thought were stronger themselves, when they were out there, they found that even demons were subject to them. They found they had some way of controlling these destructive forces that they didn't know they had. And of course, it was in your name. Okay, that's what's making them happy. Now watch, Jesus always in the gospel symbolizes higher consciousness. Okay. It's his, he has the wisdom that comes from completely being at one with the divine source, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and unity with creation and the neighbor, and your neighbor as yourself. He is the one that epitomizes unified consciousness or unitive consciousness. His response to them is, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky." So in first century mythology, what lives in the sky rules the earth. Somehow our Father who art in heaven has been usurped. Satan lives in the sky. But when they were out there finding power over what destroys and debases human life, Jesus saw Satan's power decreasing. This is mythology, symbolism. I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. It has a certain poetic yaha to it, doesn't it? So if you go back and to whoever you go back to and you said, I worked with some people today and things went really well. I know. I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. You say, how's that for affirmation? I saw Satan fall like lightning. See what I've done for you? This is very important in the Gospels. They're always to recognize the source of their power doesn't come from themselves, but comes from someone who taught them this truth. See what I have done for you? They said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And they might have said it this way: even the demons are subject to us in your name. See what I have done for you. Now he's going to tell them what he did. I have given you the power to step on the snake and the scorpion and all the forces of the enemy, and nothing will ever injure you. That's a wild remark. See what I have done for you? I have given you the power to step on the snake and the scorpion. Every once in a while I do retreats in Tucson, Arizona. It's very hot all the time, especially in the summer. And one time I flew in late, and they picked me up at the airport. And it's at the Picture Rocks Retreat House. And there's a series of cabins spanning out. And in each cabin, there's a little overhead light. And the person who picked me up said, "You're down in 15. I said, "Thanks." And I started to walk down there. He said, "Here, take the flashlight." I said, "I can see fine. The overhead lights are fine." He says, "It's hot. The snakes are out. Take the flashlight." I said, "Give me that flashlight." Okay. The idea with snakes and scorpions is you walk around them. You don't step on them. See? Ordinary consciousness walks around snakes and scorpions. Higher consciousness steps on them. I see what I've done for you? You were right on to my power when you were out there. My power is not avoidance. My power is confrontation. I go where life is being destroyed. I go right at it. That's what you found. You're precisely right. That's my power. I've given you the power to step on the snake and the scorpion. Nothing will ever injure you. Can we believe this? He is quite badly injured in the story. Can we believe that nothing will ever injure you? Except that, who is the you he's talking about? See, who is the you all spiritual traditions talk about? See, it's not the empirical ego. It's a deeper you that's tied into a deeper source that is more powerful than destructive circumstances. Nothing will ever injure you. See? Nevertheless, do not rejoice because demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in the sky. Don't rejoice because you found a power in your own ego that seems to be a little better than demons. In the first line, Satan fell from light like lightning from the sky. Who will live in the sky now? Who will contribute to the future of the earth? You will. That's why you rejoice. You rejoice because what you did will ultimately win out, because you are in league with a power that is moving through time and history and making the world better. And when you found what debased the human and restored it to its humanity, when you found that, you were cooperating this power and your name was written in the sky, because the future of the earth belongs to you. That's why you rejoice. Not because it was a victory for your own ego, but because you're part of a cosmic plan that moves along. And that's why you rejoice. Now, let's put that on for a minute. Here's the step: when the text gives you a higher consciousness, you have to put it on and hold it steady. Okay, you have to realize that this higher consciousness you're putting on and holding steady may waffle on you. The metaphors, when you move this way, the metaphors in the Gospels are you're moving from being asleep to being awake. You're moving from being blind to seeing. You're moving from deaf to hearing. You're moving from dead to being alive. And you're moving from lost to being found. To get awake, seeing, hearing, alive, and found is not easy turf, not easy trick. You have to hold it, so I want you to hold this. The text suggests to us that really, you know what causes us joy? You may have tons and tons of answers to that question. If I would have asked that question first, what causes you joy? You may have tons of answers. I don't want you to go to those tons of answers. I want you to hold that text in your head as your eyeglass. I want you to look back on your life, and I want to say the text suggests what really causes you joy is that when you make the world a little better, when you move it from destructiveness to creativeness, when you make it just an inch better, see, and you contribute to the underlying pulsing mystery that drives history forward, you participate in joy. Now, we want to take that wisdom and go back and look at the times you've done that. Don't tell me you haven't done it. Don't tell me you could have done more. That's old consciousness. It means nothing. You have to put on this new consciousness, the mind of Christ. Go back and remember those times. You visited someone who's sick. Jesus thinks the powers of sickness are never as strong again. They're just never as strong. See? You taught someone to arithmetic. The powers of ignorance are never as strong. See? You helped someone who had a problem. The powers of debilitated strength are never as strong again. And in that moment of that transition, when you participated in the underlying power of goodness to overcome the powers of destructiveness, at that moment, you were awake. And you were alive. And you could see and you could hear and you were found and you were joyous. That's what causes joy. When you participate with the Spirit of God that is overturning destruction into creation. You were alive then. You may not have known it at the time, and that's why we're going to go back now. And we're going to, that's our question, to go back at our history. I just want to give you a couple minutes to think about that. Go back. Just remember any time when the demons were subject to you and other people together, any time when what tears life down got better, just go back. See? And you'll see that causes you joy. Let's just spend a moment in that type of remembering, bringing out of forgetfulness into memory the past. Why do we tell those experiences to one another? If nothing came to mind, maybe the person next to you can start off, and then oftentimes something will come to your mind. Let's turn to each other in groups of threes and just chat. Why don't we come back together, folks? We talked earlier this morning about these sort of where to begin, these two ways of beginning, whether you want to begin with human experience and move to tradition, or whether you want to begin with tradition, move to human experience. So you can go either way, you know. It's if you start with one, it's hard to get to the other. What if I would have asked you, tell me about things that cause you joy? Okay. Where would you have gone? Would you have gone to, well, when I win the lotto, that's certainly going to make me happy. You see, conventional consciousness has all sorts of things they think causes happiness. Spiritual wisdom has one thing they think causes happiness. Okay? And they think if they can put that as a pair of eyeglasses in your consciousness and you'll look, you'll see that something causes you joy all the time, but you probably haven't seen it with the clarity that this wisdom makes possible for you. Whenever we participate in the deeper movement of God from creation to construct, from destruction to creation, and we participate in it, we're alive. We're joyous. Whenever we seek joy in other places, chances are it's going to crumble on us. This is higher consciousness. It's an invitation to our consciousness. I always assume the consciousness of the text is right. I always assume if I can't get there, I'll get there someday. Or I'll get there with the help of friends somehow. Okay. Tagore, the Sufi poet, wrote, "I woke up and saw life was service. I acted, and behold, service was joy." I woke up and I saw life was service. Service what? Service in relationship to the movement of God that moves from destruction to creation. It was serving this. I saw it was service, that all life was service. Then I acted on it, and behold, revelation, service was joy. That's spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is always usually more than our conventional wisdom at any given moment. Our conventional consciousness is more circumscribed. We put on the spiritual wisdom and we see a little bit, like when Jesus touched in Mark, when Jesus touches the eyes of the blind man, "I see, but I think people look like trees." See? He can't see clearly. He touches them again. He says, now the people are people. There's a continuum, there's a degree, something that you just get a glimpse of, just a little bit, and then you meditate more and you act on it just a little bit, and the more you go back to it, meditate, and you act just a little bit more, pretty soon, this consciousness, you begin to put on the mind of Christ. See? This consciousness gets deeper, and then one day it is so clear to you what the path of joy is. So clear. That conventional consciousness now looks very, very misleading. See? I was blind. Now I see. See? That's when consciousness change goes on. See? A friend of mine went to the west coast of the States to a place called Blue Mountain, which is north of San Francisco, because she was reading the works of a fellow by the name of Atharva Swaran, who had a community there north of San Francisco. And he also has a press called Nilgiri Press. And he's a Hindu by background, but he has written commentaries on Thomas A. Kempis, Teresa of Avila, Francis of Assisi. See? So she went there to visit his group, and she came back, and I called her up on the phone. I said, "Well, how did it go?" He said, "Well, Jack, he's the real McCoy." I'm always interested. I said, "How do you know that, Beatrice? How do you know that?" "Well, we were walking around the last day, and I said, I really like what you've done here." And he said to me, "Everything you see here, Beatrice, is the grace of my grandmother." I said, "Okay, Beatrice, how does that make him the real thing?" He said, "Well, you see," she said, I threw a straight pitch at his ego. He wouldn't take it. He knew the truth. You see what I've done for you? You see what I've done for you? See, everything comes from somewhere else, and you participate in it. You don't own it. Everything you see here is the grace of my grandmother. See? And then I remembered a story that he wrote in his introduction to the second volume of the Bhagavad Gita. And in there he told a story. He was growing up in a village in India around the turn of the century, around 1900, very backward place. And one day when he went to school with all the other kids, the teachers were there and they gathered them all together. And they said, "We have something very important to tell you." And they just blurted it out. They told the kids, "The earth is round." Well, they laughed. They howled. It couldn't possibly be round. They had just walked to school on a flat earth. This could not possibly be true, that the earth was round. The teachers were ready for this. They said, "Oh, yes, it's round." And they had pictures and they had explanations, but they were also ready for the more they explained to these kids that they could not trust their senses anymore, that what looked flat was really round, the more the inner terror began to strike them, and they became very upset and very angry. And they started to push back with whatever little 10-year-old minds they had. See? but they kept at it. And so little Ethnarth went home to his mother and said, Mom, I got some terrible news. I got some terrible news. The earth is round. She reached out and she rubbed his head, said, you are such a kidder. Where do you get these ideas from? And then he puts in a parenthesis that till the day she died, she thought the earth was flat. But he goes to his grandmother. He says, Granny, I have some terrible news. The earth is round. She looked at him and said, can you still love everything you see here? Everything you see here, Beatrice, is the grace of my grandmother. See? Because she taught him where the rock was. And the world could wobble any way it wanted, as long as you know where the rock's at. See what I have done for you? It won't injure you. You see. See? That's how spiritual teachers work. They give you a place to stand to push back. See? The problem with inheriting the higher consciousness, the evolved consciousness of the past, is that as we put it on, at first it doesn't seem to respect where we're at. What about all the other things that cause us joy? What about all the other things that cause us happiness? You don't even take those into account. You just step right over them. See? And they say, no, you can go back to those. But realize when you go back to those, that's one consciousness. When you go back here, this is another consciousness. This one's higher. That one's lower.
So thank you for taking the time to listen to these episodes. Our prayer is that as you listen and reflect on these teachings, that you'll be encouraged to continue your journey to maximize your potential to have a good and a happy life. So sign in again next week for more teaching on how you can follow the Jesus way to experience your life as filled with meaning, purpose, and joy. So God bless and stay safe.